Okay, Virgil is here somewhere. He always has a cup of water, but I'm going to drink now. He'll bring you one then. You don't want to drink out of my cup.
You drink from the same cup, Pastor.
Anyways, two really exciting things I just want to mention, plus this. Don't forget this. This is the food bank that we give to. And remember these words of Jesus at the end of the age. There were people before him, and he said to them, you know, you're coming in, you're not coming in. But they said, how is it that we have come? And he said, well, you came and you fed the hungry. And they wondered about that, and he said, and as much as you've done it unto the least of these, my brothers, he said, more than just feed, you've done it unto me. So all of this that you're giving, and as you look at your pantries and as you look at your shelves or go to the store, when you're doing this, you are truly and totally doing it to Jesus. And that's an honor. And two really exciting things that I get to say about here this morning. One is, this young married couple sitting at the end are here with us for the first time, Brandon and Emily. You want to stand up? That's good. That was a wonderful, wonderful wedding. Super. And a young lady, and I won't make her stand up because she'll get nervous and upset at me. But at the end of the service last week, something happened that I believe is totally from, it is from God, but it's more of a look forward to what I'm going to do. And that is Anna, at the end of the service yesterday, last week, came to receive Christ as her Savior. So we praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. I have dreamed of doing something like this all my life. I've never talked about it to anyone, not even Cindy. But I have a deep belief about something, and that is when God calls you, and you've heard me talk about this, to do a task, he also anoints you. He gives you the power of the Holy Spirit to live and do and be what he wants you to be. And children, don't freak out. You're going to go after a few minutes. And he gives that Holy Spirit to you as a special commissioning. Now, I'm not here to commission Pastor Eldrick to the church today. That's going to happen in a few weeks down the road when the leaders of the conference come and they'll do their official business. But today, we're passing the baton. And he's going to be your pastor as of today, by God. But anyways, what I want you to get a hold of is that what he gave me was for a season to treasure. And he also gave it to me to give to another. And I've always known and thought that the time would come when God would do this. People would ask how, what, and why, and where. I said, I don't know, but we'll know when God says what to do. And so I want Pastor Eldred to come up here beside me right now, this side. In a few minutes, I'm just going to ask your wife and daughter to come. Don't worry, you're not going to have to say anything. And my wife, that'll be the final part of it. But I wasn't part of selecting him. But when I first heard of him, listened to his sermon, read all about him, everything I could find out on the internet, I just had this thought, this is him. And so I watched the team do all of this. And so I had a moment when I was nervous that they were going to call somebody else to have a sermon. And I went, oh man, blow this, guys. And I said nothing to anyone because God said, shut up, I'll take care of it. And so, but he did. And I know that I know that I know in my heart that what I'm doing today I do with joy and total peace and excitement and anticipation. I had no vote, but I rejoiced. Also, I want you to know that his coming is something I want to talk about briefly. When we came here, we came to this church and then were called. And then the door opened. Our pastor comes because God called him, and he's been sent to us. And that's what we want to hold on to. He's not just a person filling a position. And always when you think about him and his family, just remember the miracle of God, and remember the hope that's in all of this. God would bring them here to us, 3,000 miles away. And people will say to me, What did you advertise? Just the truth. And God did his thing. So,
thank you.
I want to read a couple passages of scripture, then I want to pray for him. And in that prayer time, I want his wife and daughter to come up here and stand beside us. But this is between he and I now. This is between no one else. This is just him and me doing this together. And I want to reference two passages of scripture, which, don't worry, they won't be on the screen. I just want to reference them here quickly this morning. But Jesus, in the Gospel of John, said these words. When the Spirit of truth comes, and you know who he is, that's the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. He's your guide. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Mm-hmm. And he will bring glory to himself.
Amen.
By what you do.
Amen.
That's what's happening here. And then one other part in 1 John. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. Now that does not say that your pastor is able to tell everybody what they think and what they feel and what they do. This can be misconstrued, but it's not here. What this saying is your relationship to God and the power of the Holy Spirit is the one who leads him,
okay,
guides him, shepherd, leader to the flock, the leadership. It's the Holy Spirit within you. You don't need anyone to teach you because he can do it. Mm-hmm. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know.
Amen.
And what he teaches is true. It's not a lie. It is not a lie. So live what he has taught you. Remain in fellowship with Christ.
Thank you.
The prayer that I'm going to offer, and then I want you all to come up here with me for the second part of the prayer, is that I'm going to pray that God takes the anointing that he's given me in the power of the Holy Spirit and places this on my brother. And that's what's taking place. I also want to give you something before I pray.
Yes, sir.
This sat on my shelf in a little container. I've never used it. I've never talked about it. But this was given to me by a sister who came here because she was assigned to come. God called her to be assigned. She gave this to me because she knew the anointing. And she went to be with Jesus last week. Her assignment was finished. And I want to give you this as a symbol of this assignment that's being passed on.
Thank you very much.
As I pray for you.
I appreciate that.
Father, we thank you so much. Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to sense what you're doing. Your grace and your mercy opens our eyes and our hearts to the process that's taking place, the power that's here. And as I lay my hands on my brother, with joy in my heart, Lord, I ask you, take what was mine and give to him. Thank you for that sacred privilege, that one that he and he alone will carry. And I thank you for that. Holy Spirit, fill him afresh. Fill him every day afresh. Strengthen him. Let his trust grow. And that the one word that I leave with him as we pray, trust in the Lord with all of your heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
And lead not on your understanding.
Amen.
But in all of your ways, acknowledge him.
Yes.
And he will direct your path.
Amen.
As the Holy Spirit has been given by Jesus.
Amen.
To empower you, to anoint you, to serve here as the pastor of Grace Community Fellowship.
Thank you.
Bless him, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
We praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Would you like to come up? Just come behind Dad, Cindy. And you come up here, too. You can stand up. You're younger than mine. You get up easier. Here. Just let me go outside. Get this one life.
Someone else can take pictures.
What we want to do is we want to pray here also that We are so excited. Cindy said, I can't wait. She's going to come. I can meet her. And her children. And she is so excited. But we want to bless you as a couple.
Thank you.
As a family. To you two.
Thank you.
Three. Four.
That's right.
And we just praise you for that. Did you have anything you wanted to say?
No.
No.
Except I agree. The Lord has brought you. And we welcome you. And we hope that you will grow in feeling his peace here. So
amen.
Much.
Amen. Thank you.
I'm going to pray for them, and I'd like to ask you all to stand, and as I finish the prayer, she's going to just stay in peace. She's going to lead us in a very, 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 very special song. Thank you, Father, for Eldrick's wife and children. We ask you to bless them,
mm-hmm.
and to keep them, and to make your face to shine upon them, and to lift up your countenance, your presence upon them. And give them peace.
Amen.
We thank you for this, Father. And to him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the Father with great joy,
mm-hmm.
the only wise God, our Savior,
mm-hmm.
dominion and power, mm-hmm. now and forevermore.
Amen.
And let's let the Holy Spirit minister as we sing this. Kirsten?
Holy ground.
Thank you, Jesus.
We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is here, and where he is holy. This is home.
Here, I saw angels encircling around this building, and they're still there. They're still there. Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. You'll be seated. Everybody, this is your new pastor.
Yes.
God bless.
Thank you.
I told you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Thank you.
It's your turn.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm coming.
Remember to pray specifically. Okay, children, hold a minute. Remember to pray for his children. It's hard enough in this world to be children of a pastor, as they know. That they want to be themselves and to be that, pray that way for them. And to also know that they are in a territory that they have never been in. New school, new faces, new people, new friends. And that God's just going to bless them in what they do.
Thank you.
I'm done.
Thank you.
I'm done. I'm done.
Good morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. As I look into the scriptures, Psalm 122 says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And I'm sure that all of you are glad that you are in the presence of God. I want to begin by saying a few words this morning. And before I move on, I would like to pause here. And I want to thank you, Pastor Dennis and his beloved wife, Cindy, for an amazing, excellent, and outstanding leadership in this church, Pastor. I want to thank you. My wife and I are in debt, and we want to thank you for that. And thank you for what the Lord has told you to do. I honor that as a man of God. And what happened here today is what we see in the Word of God. There are several innumerable examples of that in the Word of God. I'm honored, I'm blessed, and to be a new pastor of this church. And when I look at the word pastor, I don't see filling in position. I see the word shepherd. In the Hebrew language, the word is shepherd. Shepherd is the one who look after the sheep. And of course, we are serving, everyone is serving under a great shepherd. The Jesus Christ. That's what he said, I am the great shepherd. For this season, God has placed me over this place to be a shepherd of this church. And It is exciting. It is encouraging. It is very exciting. It is encouraging. For us, we drove 3,000 miles. To be very precise, 2,863. My wife calculated that. And when she does calculations, I believe in those calculations. For those who are married, they know what I'm saying. And it was beautiful coming through, you know, coming from Northwest to this beautiful state of the Mid-Atlantic. You know, it's beautiful, God's creation. Some of you had the opportunity of doing a road trips and, you know, seeing coming through Montana and Minnesota and Wisconsin and North Dakota. And you see that God has blessed this country with a beautiful landscape. God has blessed this country. I had a privilege of living and staying in different parts of the world. And I look at the United States, not because I live here or my family lives here, but I look at it is a very unique country. It's a beautiful country. And God has given us the stewardship of this country to look after this country, you know. And it's beautiful. And as we were walking, and we stopped and gas stations and struck a conversation and buying food, you know, on the way, you know, and all that. It was beautiful. And my wife kept asking me, "Are you tired?" I said, "I don't feel I'm tired." Yes, my eyes feel tired because for 10 hours your eyes are on the road, your eyes looking back on the sides. Because when you're passing through Montana for 670 miles, you see nothing, just a flat land and mountains. So you don't know any time a moose would come on the road, run, or whatnot. So you have to be very careful, extremely vigilant, when you're driving. So coming last, thank you, Lowell and Tracy, for treating us last night for dinner and all that. Looking forward, and you said setting up time, and I'm looking forward to meet you, shake your hands again. And congratulations to a newly married couple. Welcome. That's a good thing you did. Honor God, you know, all that. And that's a good thing. And looking forward to get to know you. And also, Jason and Amanda, thank you for opening the door of your house, you know, for us to come and stay. And looking forward to that. Looking forward to foster friendships here. And when I look at, I was here, and I read this word. What it says? Share Jesus without fear. We are going to share Jesus. We're not going to share Jesus only in these walls. No. We're going to go out. We're going to go out. Because God has given us this land. God has given us place. And God has brought nations to this country. God has brought nations to this country. And we're going to reach out. We're going to reach out. You know, numbers are important too, but souls are more important. Souls are important. The world is dying. The world is frustrated. The world has no answer. Jesus has the answer. Jesus is the only. Jesus has the answer. And I was reading a book a few weeks ago, and I shared with you a few months ago, and I read it again. It says, sharing Jesus without freaking out. I know we freak out. I understand the limitations that we have. There's times we have limitations of, like, if someone asks, let's pray in the restaurant, and we kind of like, what would I do? I would have bowed on my head and closed my eyes, and if people look, what would they think? That's a part of your testimony. That's part of my testimony. Share Jesus without fear. It was a wonderful worship service, Kristen. Thank you for those songs. And the songs kind of tie up with what I'm going to share this morning. Because Lowell said, that's okay if you. I said, yeah. But God spoke to me on the way coming here as I was driving, and someone encouraged me from Seattle, said, brother, pastor, when you go, God is going to prepare you and give you a word in season to go and preach. You know? And I want to talk about the faithfulness of God. This morning, I want to talk about the faithfulness of God. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me. Turn with me into Second Timothy and chapter 2, Second Timothy, Paul's letter to the young man Timothy, the second letter he writes to this young man Timothy, and in chapter 2. So I'll wait for you as we, you know, I love the sound of the flipping of pages. You know, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I know we are blessed with electronic media. I know we are blessed with cell phones. I know we have electronic devices. But this is something, I'm talking about myself, I feel so equipped when I carry the word of God. Of course, it should be in our hearts. But you know, when I carry it in my hand, I know there's my, that is my sword. That is my sword. And that is your sword and my sword that we are carrying that, you know. And it's okay to go on cell phones. There's nothing wrong with that. And to read. But I just want to read Paul's second letter to a young man, Timothy, and you know, chapter 2. And verse 13, he talks here. He says, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful. For he cannot deny himself, or he cannot disown himself. Now, Paul is writing a letter to a young man, Timothy, and encouraging him with the faithfulness of God. As your new pastor here, the first Sunday, I want to encourage you this morning. Of course, the previous pastor has done that, but you know, I just want to encourage you by that God is faithful. I want to talk about the faithfulness of God. Is God faithful? And that is not a question. The answer is yes. God is faithful. Faithfulness is one of God's unchanging attributes. Faithfulness is one of God's unchanging attributes. It means that he always does exactly what he says. Or you're precisely what he says. He will do and acts in accordance with his nature. The nature of God, if you look at the attributes of God in the book of Exodus, the attributes of God is, one of the attributes is faithfulness. God is faithful. In spite of your and my unfaithfulness, God is still faithful. Sometimes we want to be faithful to the things that we feel comfortable. Can I say it again? Sometimes we are faithful to the things in the house of God that we feel comfortable. Well, I feel comfortable in worship, so I'm very faithful there. I'm very faithful in doing this electronic. I'm faithful there. But how about vacuuming the church? How about going out and picking up the dirty laundry? I don't know what to do. I would call it personally selective faithfulness. That sometimes we are selectively faithful. But God is not like that. God is faithful in every, because his nature is faithful. Our nature, human nature, is not like that. If I feel good there, I don't know. I'm still learning the culture of this part of the world, of Central PA. But I just want to share the culture that I have been part for 10 years in the Northwest. The culture over there, and I'm not bashing on the Northwest, but the culture over there is something that I will wait till the last moment if something else better comes up. You invite the people to the church, do everything, all these things, they will wait. If something better comes up, they will show up. If something better else comes up for the church, they will go there. Faithfulness is one of God's unchanging attributes. It means that he always does precisely what he says. He will do and act in accordance with his nature. God's unchanging nature and faithfulness are the foundation of your hope and my hope. God's unchanging, let me say that again. God's unchanging nature and faithfulness are the foundation of our hope. Because God is faithful, church, and we can have peace of mind in any circumstances when you and I are even facing to the point of death, God is still faithful. God is faithful. As we were coming here, as we were traveling, as I look into my life, I see the faithfulness of God. As I was sitting down here, as I knelt down here, in my heart, it was, the thoughts were running in my mind. That God calling me from a background that I never thought that I would serve God. Some of you know my story. Some of you will know my story. And some of you will say, enough, Pastor, that is repetitive. That's okay. That's the goodness with the preachers. There's some things are repetitive. And I thank God for the faithfulness that He called me out of the heaps of dirt and darkness. I would never thought that I would come to know God as my personal Savior. I never thought even after that I would serve God for seasons in different places of the world, other countries. But God in everything, God has been faithful. There are times when we face difficulties in our life, church. There are times when sickness is coming there. As we were singing that song, I cry out to you when you don't answer my prayers. There was a song up there. When the mountains don't move, is God faithful? God is absolutely faithful there too. Is God faithful when you know the water is not parting? God is absolutely faithful there. Is God faithful when He's not answering our prayers? He is still faithful. God is faithful God. And I want to encourage you this morning, I don't care, and I'm saying it in a good way, in a humble way, I don't care what does the world tells us. I know what the Word of God tells us. The Word of God tells us God is love. And God loves each one of you. God loves each one of you in spite of your previous life. God loves you. And I want to encourage you, not only He loves you, He's faithful. He remains faithful. And is God faithful when we are praying? Is God still faithful? Why is He not answering? God remains faithful when we're still praying. And you know, answering a prayer is in God's timing. It's not in your timing. It's not in my timing. If it was my timing, it would have not been taken 4 days to come here. I would hop. I tell you, I would be less than 5 hours. I want to come with a jet, like straight here. I'm here. If it was up to me, I would have a roof now over my head. I still have. I have a roof over it, but my own place, you know. But God is faithful in that. I exactly know that where God is going to bless us with a new home, a new place to live. I exactly know that God is going to do great things in this church. And God has done great things, but in this new season, God is going to do great new things. So you better buckle up. You better buckle up. Because we are going to move. I tell you, we are going to move fast, and you better buckle up. Because we need to move. The world is changing. I was talking to Lowell yesterday. I said, the world is changing. The world is changing at a very high speed. This country is changing. Go to the other parts of the country. Some of you had the privilege of doing the world. Are we going to tell people, stay out of the church? No. We're going to bring them into the presence of God. We're going to love them. We are not going to compromise on the values of God. I'm not saying that. We're not going to compromise on the values of God. We are not going to say, oh, this is okay. No, we're going to say, this is not okay, but God still loves you. Hey, every one of us had a past. Every one of us had a past. And God in His mercy reached out to us. And you know what? God is going to use you for this thing. This thing. We're going to share Jesus without freaking out, without fear. And we're going to love on people. Because loving on people, this is what Jesus did in His earthly ministry, what He did. He spent most time with who? With the Pharisees? No. With the teachers of the law? No. With the Sadducees? No. Where did He spend most of His time? He spent most of His time in the marketplaces. He was talking to people. He was encouraging them. Time has come, church, for us to rise up. And the church in America needs to rise up. Because if you want to conquer the world, if you want to preach the world, preach the word to the world, we need to better buckle up, have the helmet of salvation, and go out. We feel comfortable when we are inside the walls. We feel very uncomfortable when we are out there sharing Jesus. God is going to equip us with the power of the Holy Spirit and encourage us to move on. One of my favorite things about God is that He is faithful. This is one of my favorite things. One of my favorite things about God is that He is faithful God. Whenever He makes a promise, He keeps it. God, the Word of God says in Numbers, He says, chapter 17, I believe that, He says, God is not a man who changes his mind, nor son of man, he lies. Remember that, church. God is not a man who changes. How many times do we change our mind? Oh, better take this road, honey. No, better take this road. No, better take this road. Oh, let me listen to GPS. Ah, let me take this road. Mama said, oh, do you want to avoid tolls? Yeah, let's avoid tolls coming here. Let's not do it. Let's do it. Change mind. And some of those things are good because you save money and you get to see the beautiful part of the north, the western Pennsylvania. You see that. You enter from Ohio, it's a lofty mountains. It's green, it's beautiful. And you just thank God for the creation. Each story in the Bible begins as amazing as the last one about God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness to Abraham. God's faithfulness to David. In spite of his sin, God did not compromise on that. He had to face the consequences of his sin. And he said, I'm going to die, because Nathan came to him and Nathan shared with him the story. And Nathan, and then David said, who's the man? Nathan said, you're the man. You are the man. Thank God for Nathan's courage that he went to the king and said, you are the man. And he said, I shall die. He said, no, you are not going to die, because the covenant God made with you, we are not going to die. We are not going to see our children dying. We are not going to give up on the salvation of our children, of our family members. We are going to see that coming through. We're going to see that coming through because we are a covenantal people with God. We have a covenant with God. And David said, you know, but of course, there was consequences of his sins that he had to pay. That is another sermon we'll talk about. That. Moses, God's faithfulness to Moses, even when he was a baby in the basket, lying and going through the River Nile, God was faithful. God was faithful when he went into the wilderness and he met his burning bush. When we go through wilderness in our life, God is faithful. I don't know how many of you have gone through that. I've gone through that. And I know what I'm talking this morning. You may be going through a wilderness, but God is there for you. God is watching you. God is keeping an eye on you. And God is protecting you. And if you say, Pastor, I haven't gone through my wilderness, I would say, wait for your turn. How many times I have prayed and God has given me what I needed. Not always what I wanted, but what he has always given me what I needed. I could have 1,000 wants, but God gives me. In a few minutes, I'm wrapping up. Few points here. God is totally trustworthy in his promises, number one. God is totally trustworthy in his promises. The book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 talks about that. Number two, God does not lie about anything. When Paul is writing to Titus, chapter 1, verse 2, he says, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Number three, sometime I've seen in my ministry, God said, is God faithful to forgive me? No. God is not. God can't forgive me, Pastor. You don't know what I've done. I don't have to know what you've done. But I tell you, church, God is faithful to forgive. He's a forgiving God. He is absolutely a forgiving God. He's faithful to forgive. It says he's faithful to forgive when we confess our sins to him. God is faithful in all these things. God has been faithful. I was reading a plaque out. It said the church was erected in 1915, right? It says outside here at this corner. Since 1915 up to what? 104 years, God has been faithful to this church. God has been faithful. It's not because we gave a lot or we gave less. No. Those are stewardships. But God has been faithful to us because that's his nature. That's his nature. God never This is an important point. This is what we think. Particularly, and this is again not, you will be hearing a lot different thing, particularly we hear that in the North American continent, oh, God abandons me. God never abandons us. God never abandons us, church. God will not abandon his people. You are his people. You are his people. I look at you, not that I want to scare you or whatnot, or not I'm reading your mails here. No. I barely know most of you, you know. But let me tell you, God will not, because he loves you, and you are created in the image of God. You are. You are created in the image of God. We are created in the image. We have likeness like God. He will remain faithful. Let me tell you, he will remain faithful though we may deny him. And I'm not going to ask you to raise hands here. Nah, that's not my intent here. But there are times we have denied him. There are times we have denied him. But he is faithful to us even when we denied him. God's faithfulness to Abraham. I will give you a son. How many years he waited for? 25 years. I'll make you a father of nations. Hello, where are you, God? I'm getting old. Sarah getting old. Biologically, things are not working here. What are you talking about? Oh, Abraham, you're getting old. Oh, go to Hagar. You know, have a child. This is what God... No, God never brings plan B. Let me tell you, God has plan A. That's it. There's only one plan. God's for your life. No, God, well, she bear a child. Ishmael. Oh, this is... No, 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 no. I'm going to give you Isaac. Yitzhak in Hebrew. I'm going to give you Isaac. How many of you waited? God's faithfulness to David. And finally, God's faithfulness to Joseph. What was the faithfulness to Joseph? As you look in Genesis chapter 39, you see that God, it says, but God was with him. But God was with him. That was the faithfulness of God. God was with Joseph. In the same way, God is with us. We were driving and... somewhere in North Dakota, I realized it's a flat road, but there was a lot of work going on I-94 coming east. And I realized the car is a little heavy. You know, I thought maybe there's a weight. I asked my wife, honey, how many boxes we are taking? A suit? She said, oh, there are two. By the time you load, they're not two, they're added. So, you know, that's okay. So there were a few, I said, maybe there was a weight behind the car, you know, whatnot. I just felt that. And I suddenly checked, you know, that thing where you check the tire pressure, PSI, something like that. And I saw every tire had 36, 35, one was 27. And I said, that's a significant number. But anyway, I drove, you know. You act like man, you drive. Oh, okay, we'll do it, you know. We'll do it. Oh, well, it's okay, we'll do it. Reached Minneapolis later on that night, met friends out for dinner, whatnot. Came to the hotel next morning, checked out of the hotel, and I looked at the tire. Oh, it was fine. The air was okay. It's not flat. My wife said, you know what? I didn't like the coffee there. It was a little bit cold. I want to go to Starbucks. I said, huh, from Seattle? Now you want to go to Seattle? You know, okay, let's do it. Let's do it. So my daughter said, I want tea too. I said, okay. So we drove to the nearby Starbucks. You know, the point of the story, I'll tell not too long. And and then right in front of the Starbucks, there was a Firestone. Firestone, you know. I was like, what are you talking? And I immediately took my car there, and they found out there was a nail on the shoulder of the tire. Nail. And he showed me the nail. And he said, we cannot repair that because it's right on the shoulder. And I said, God intentionally brought me to that place, coffee place, so that otherwise I'd be a man, plug the car, pump the gas, psh, next stop, Ohio. That's what we do, right? Most of men, let's go, honey. We'll see what happened. God intentionally brought me there, and I saw God's faithfulness there. He's faithful. My wife wanted coffee, and I said, he said, sir, where are you heading to? I said, Central PA. Oh, for job? I said, yes. I normally don't jump on people. I'm a pastor. I don't do that. I let them build up their story first. You know, you let them talk. You let them talk. And I said, okay. So where you got a better job? I said, not a better job, but a different opportunity. He said, what is that? So I started talking to him. See where you get a point to talk with people, start a conversation. Minneapolis, great area, but again, you know, people are like quiet and whatnot. And I had to buy a new tire. But I saw God's faithfulness there. God is faithful. God sometimes leads us in these ways, all these ways. And when you come, and when I left Friday, when I left Wednesday, Seattle, two days before, I was so overwhelmed. It's a lot of work. A lot of work. So much overwhelmed. But as I reached here, I said, thank God. I looked back. I said, some of you, or maybe all of you, are going to do that. Look back into your life and say, thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness for doing all that. Before, and God is faithful. Psalm 119, verse 90 says, God's faithfulness endures to all generations. God is faithful, church. As I wrap up here, I want to encourage you this morning, again, by saying that, be encouraged because God is faithful. And what Pastor read to me, the scripture, I would say the same scripture to you. Be there, be faithful. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Let the power of God lead you. Because it's not going to get easy. I'm telling you, it's not going to get easy. The world is not getting easier. The world is not getting easier. The things we are hearing in this world, maybe in Central PA, you are not hearing that a lot. But we in the Northwest, we heard a lot. The world is getting crazy. Our world is getting crazy. But God is faithful in that. I'll pray. Father, we thank you, we bless you, we magnify you, exalt you for that. And you are awesome, God. Thank you for your faithfulness to this church. Thank you, faithfulness for everything. Thank you, God, for the word this morning. And Lord, for those who are either struggling or kind of questioning your faithfulness, Father, I pray that give them a clear picture. Speak to them in dreams and visions. And bless their time with you, Father God. Lord, bless us. Bless the worship team as we lead into another song here. And God, once again, I pray for those who are struggling physically right now in the midst of this. I pray for those who are struggling spiritually in our families. I pray for those who are struggling relationally. God, so for some of those who are looking for guidance from you, God, I pray that, God, you give them guidance. There might be someone here, Father God, who's looking, what is next step? What would I do? God, sometimes we hear to, Lord, sometimes we are prone to hear to our friends. And there are times they give good advice. But God, may we lean on your understanding. May we lean on your understanding. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we sing, I just want to officially introduce my wife. Not that I forgot it. And my daughter, no. Please come here, Rosebell and Hazel. Rosebell and I have been married for 18 years, coming up 18 years, and we are blessed with two children, Ranson and Hazel. Hazel is our second born. She is turning to be 14 next month, a month from now exactly. And our son is going to Africa, Kenya, on mission trip where he was born. Hazel and you know, Ranson was on, and tomorrow he'll be joining us on September 5th. He'll be coming to Philadelphia. And he said, did you buy my ticket? I said, I purchased your ticket. So he knows he's coming home. And you want to say something?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's good afternoon. It's not a good morning. Yeah. Good afternoon, church. Yeah. I just want to say thank you for your all prayers and in, for your encouragement. And we are so thankful to God. He protect us on the road and guide us and be with you this morning and looking forward to meet you and praying for the new season. And just want to let you know we are here and we love you. And pray for us for the new season. And God bless you. Thank you.
Hazel wants to say something. That's okay. That's fine. That's fine. That's fine, kids. Yeah. But we love Hazel. And Hazel has been so kind to us as we were traveling, you know. She said, go, and she got the back seat, you know. I was telling Lowe and some of the people and got the back seat and slept all the way. And that's how she crossed the whole country. And I also want to thank you to the church that some of the women have reached out to Rosebell via Facebook, sent friendship and all that, and reached out to her. We acknowledge that. Thank you. If you have not answered your questions in a timely member, in a timely manner, we were, you know, traveling and we didn't have internet at that. Go ahead.
Want to stand with us, please?
Top, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Never walk alone.